We are recording.
Okay. So it is, it's 6:03 in the evening, December 16, and I call this meeting in the Nashua Airport Authority Board to order. Chris, roll call, please.
Okay, Chairman Woods.
Present.
Vice Chairman Law.
Here.
Treasurer Heath.
Me.
Secretary Duquette.
Here.
And Director Holland.
Present.
All accounted for.
Excellent. So that brings us to public input. Do we have any takers for public input this evening? Okay, going once, going twice. Okay, people are quiet this evening. So minutes. Approval of the NAA public minutes of November 18, 2020. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move to accept the minutes as submitted.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. Let's see. Treasurer's report. Dave, you want to go over anything in the November 2020 financials?
Nothing. Again, things are pretty static right now. No projects going on. I mean, there's work going on, but not a lot of financial activity going on other than the standard operations. I know we've talked about this in the past, but what's the latest on the brick hangar improvement? I know they paid us some money that we're holding for them, and then we then go out and hire people and do stuff. Is that my understanding? And I know Susan's not here, but Chris, can you speak to that for a second?
Yeah, that was last year. They had given us a sum of money for some of the improvements. It's essentially a triple net lease.
Right.
So this
$2,400 is sitting on there. That's kind of the leftover that we haven't spent yet.
Yep, that was after the roofing job that we did, Dave.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Those will be used for whatever the next project is, whether it be the ceiling inside the hangar. We have some insulation work too.
Okay, so it's basically money we're holding for them, but we're kind of jobbing the project.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, good. So again, comparing if we kind of scroll down a bit and look at the, just go right to the budget comparison. I know there's some things in here that still kind of jump off the page a little bit because there's a little bit of mismatch in terms of, where the items are budgeted versus when they're actually spent in reality. And so we get like the workers' comp this year, or this month rather. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna share the screen so you know what I'm talking about. Oh, you disabled me. I can't share the screen, Chris.
How do I set that up again, Dave?
Should be able to go in one of the settings and allow me to share my screen.
Under the share screen at the very bottom, Chris, if you click on it once, it should there should be an advanced setting there, and then you can allow participants.
Just click all participants?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to try it again. Yep, so here I am. Let's see, right here. Does everybody see that?
Yep, here we go, Dave. Thanks, Jeff.
So
no
this
problem.
Is kind of the...
Full screen on that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, Dave.
Say again?
I just wanted to make sure you could go full screen because the numbers are small.
Right. I'm doing that now.
Perfect. That looks great.
So anyway, I don't know if you can see this or not. Sometimes we get a mismatch between budget and actual. Like here's the October income and then the expenses. An example of this is where'd it go? Give me a minute. I know this is sideways. It wasn't the budget. It was a comparison to the prior year, where workers' comp was paid this year, but not in the same month last year. So like you get this little thing here. If you can see it. So anyway, I mean you're going to have anomalies like that going on, and then with the budget, it should be. You know, we try to get it to line up so that things happen in the month they actually happen. You know, like, but we get things like this year's the wages for the 1 month is $1,300 off. I don't know if that's still a 5-week versus a 4-week thing going on. And year to date, I'm not sure why we got a almost a $5,000 difference in the first 4 months of the year. So we got July, August, September, October. And so I want to look into that a little bit with Susan when she comes back. Just so we're not, I mean, wages should be pretty straightforward. I mean, it's nice that we got $5,000 that we're not paying people. I guess that's what it's saying. But it should line up a little bit better. So I'm gonna take a look at that later on. But in terms of the actual operations, going on, there's not a lot of anomalies, unless Chris is going to tell me of something.
Nope.
But we're just doing normal repairs. We are doing some stuff with the trucks. We've done that in the past. We're gonna look at maybe capitalizing some of that, like we talked about last month. So. And again, we talked about this last month also, that the year-to-date variance of $89,000 is a bunch of these expenses that are coming in under projection, plus there's a $69,000, this guy right here, that infamous.
It was the CARES Act grant, Dave.
The CARES Act money that we got that we're going to be talking about all year. So that's really kind of an overview. Again, the balance sheet is strong. The receivables are the aging is not a problem. Let me just flip up to the where the balance sheet go. It's here. It's coming. So, you know, we still are in good shape cash-wise. Again, the differences has to do with moving money around from a CD. This $80,000 went away and it went up into operations. And then we got the CARES Act stuff, too. Once again, that comes up. I'm assuming that the audit adjustments are not in here yet. They should be in the next month. Because we got the as far as the audit's concerned, I believe it's completed. I've signed off on some of the board and the management assertions that those are all good. Those are all in good shape. So we're going to be. I guess we're supposed to review it with the auditors in the January meeting. Chris, was that when?
That is the plan.
Okay. So anyway, you will see a large accounts payable here that has to do with a project that was closed out last year. This is comparing November 2019, November 2020. So there's some numbers that are different because there are projects going on. So anyway, anybody have any questions about these?
Yeah, so Drew posted a question in the chat window. Any reason year to date in first table is through October 31, not November 30?
I'm sorry, say it again.
If you open the chat
window. Yeah. Okay, so here's the balance sheet. What's the question?
Any reason year to date in first table is through October 31, not November 30.
Yeah, the statements earlier, the first ones you put up were through October 30.
Oh, that was the income statement.
Right. So why is that?
Hold on. There's a couple of here's the November statements here.
Yeah, I just saw those. Those you put up second. It was the first ones.
Yeah. I'm not sure why the October numbers were included in this, but most of these numbers have to do with October, with November. Let me just keep going.
Yeah, that's good.
This is November.
Go back to the very first tables you put up that were comparing October 30th and year to date.
That was the budget. Yeah,
right.
I'm not sure.
Why isn't the budget updated in November? That's the question.
Yeah, this is an Excel spreadsheet. So I'm wondering, let me just check something here. Let me just 58.
It could be just mislabeled.
I think it is mislabeled.
Okay, well, I caught it. Thanks.
Hold on, let me see. Hold on. Well, the income doesn't quite match up. You get net income of 10,000 there. And if you go down to the budget numbers, we got, yeah, that might be October numbers.
In which case, for the monthly meeting, that page should always be updated to the month of the meeting.
No, I understand.
Okay, good. That's all. Thank you.
So does something need to be fixed there, David?
Well, technically,
I don't think anything needs to be fixed. I just think the correct spreadsheet needs to be found.
Yeah, so you can't really say.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's mislabeled, because year to date on this thing is 68,000 net income, 68,000 on the spreadsheet. And you go up year to date here. Wait, did I look at the right number? Hold on. Year-to-date actual. And that, of course, includes the CARES Act stuff. This is the month of November, I think. Nope, sorry. Stand by. All right, I'm not, hold on.
I think the budget numbers might be only for October.
Oh, I think your point. Stand by. Hold on.
So I think we need to, we'll have to approve both times next, probably when we meet again.
Yeah, here we go. So the year-to-date November numbers are 71,000.
71, yeah. And 10,000 for the month of November itself. So.
Right.
Then October says, are the budget spreadsheet, the horizontal one.
Yeah.
I think really is the October number probably.
Yeah. It's about Okay. I guess we're going to have to revisit this next month.
Okay.
I don't want to guess.
Yeah, Dave, we'll have to dig into Susan's computer and when she's here, and we'll get that all straightened out. We will discuss it next month for sure.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. Excuse me.
Because if you take the year-to-date actual from October, and you add 10,000 for November, you don't get the 71,000 year-to-date.
Well, it's one operating.
So I'm not sure what's going on here. Okay, we'll figure it out.
Okay, so we'll defer approval of the November 2020 financial statements subject to audit to next month.
Yep.
Approval of fiscal year 2020 draft financial audit.
Just to hold on. I don't want to beat this thing, but I'm pretty confident that the November numbers are good. So it's just the comparison to that spreadsheet, I think, is suspect at this point. Okay.
That's true. I would agree with you on that, Dave, because you and I talked about these.
Right.
Right. You and I went over some of the different line items.
When I review these, I look mostly at the actual numbers, the books. And I just didn't notice that the spreadsheet didn't line up. So, gee, thanks a lot, Drew. So, any other dumbass? Sorry, any other questions? Okay.
So, approval of the fiscal year 2020 draft financial audit. You want to speak to that one as well?
Say again. The draft 2020 audit.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't. I've gone through it. I looked at I think everybody got a copy of it.
Yeah, I think we did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we want, we can vote to accept that. I have no issues with it. I went through the biggest the biggest issues there, biggest changes, is the impact, I guess, to our statements that we've reviewed all year long. Is the recording of depreciation and this the OPEB adjustment. And there was an adjustment with respect to OPEB that was incorrect, and then they fixed it. So I'll make a motion to approve the draft financial statements.
So that's the the big outlier that creates the big unusual number.
What's that, Brian?
Well, I mean, to show an operating loss of $1.5 million because of the depreciation number.
Yep.
I just wanted people to be. I wanted you to just touch bases on that so people were clear that.
Yeah, we don't. Everybody knows we don't. We don't budget or record depreciation on a regular basis. That's one of those year-end adjustments that's done for financial statement reporting. The numbers that we are dealing with all year long have to do with operating numbers, depreciation being a non-cash item. We don't spend a lot of time with it. That's just kind of how we keep our books. Then at the end of the year, the depreciation gets calculated based on prior year acquisitions as well as the current year acquisitions. And then the auditors calculate the amount and book the expense. And that's why, we go from looking pretty good or breaking even for the year to showing a good size loss.
Yep.
So that people know we're not going out of business.
Yeah, and the OPEB is all deals with the pension, and that's all run at the state level. So it's really, we have no control over that.
And the cash part of that, the the operating part of that OPEB is expensed every month when we pay it.
Right.
And then there's that has to do the OPEB has to do with how funded the plan is. And you know, if I just flip back to the balance sheet here, it's basically this section right here in the financials that talks about that. These have not been, again, the current year audit numbers are not in here, but this is essentially the bulk of the adjustment, the impact rather. And that's basically, I like to think of it as if the world ended tomorrow, this is how much we'd have to settle up to fund the pension plan. And then, but of that, there's also some pre-funded stuff here on the asset side that partially offset that.
And OPEB, just so everybody knows, is other post-employment benefits.
Right. Yep. Pension liability.
Yeah.
And other, sometimes.
Really,
you know,
bulk of it.
Pretty much. Okay. How's everybody doing? Good?
Yeah.
Riveting, Dave. It's riveting.
I can't hear the snoring.
Joe, you okay over there?
I'm fantastic. I was actually, let's go back to the first section. I had a couple of questions with some of the unallocated. Never mind.
Yeah. Okay.
Do we question while I have the floor here, real quick? Do we have to approve the draft financial audit, or is that just more of a FYI as a primer for the actual audit that'll be presented supposedly next month?
We have to approve it. Otherwise
you
can't finish it.
Got it.
I will point out that it does say in here, just for people's benefit, that they did not identify any deficiencies in internal controls. So right. I do appreciate that,
that's
to the team.
That's part of the management letter.
Exactly. Comments. Yep.
Okay. So, Dave, I think you put a motion out there to, to approve the draft.
I would second that. Yeah, I've read through it.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor of approving the fiscal year 2020 draft financial audit, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Communications, we have no official communications with the authority, in November. Reports, so the tower report. Yeah, let me bring that up. So according to this spreadsheet, we had a total of 7,525 operations in November.
I'm getting there. Hold on.
Oh, I got it up on another screen here, Dave. So
am I still sharing my screen?
Yeah, you're still sharing your screen, Dave. So okay, we see your screen.
So here it is.
Okay, so we're up 25 operations versus October. I'm sorry, 20 operations versus October. Not much of a change there, but year over year, we're up 17%. The difference being, we're up 1,103 operations versus November of 2019.
That's outstanding.
So despite the pandemic, I like seeing these numbers. This is good.
Farrell, hold on for a minute. I think what that is, and Joe, I know you and I worked on this spreadsheet a little bit. Is that number now, that 1,103, is that year to date?
So that is the 19, that should be the 19 over 20 change.
Year
just
to date.
For the month.
Just for the month.
Just for the month.
So this is the, okay, so this is the.
So okay. The okay. November okay. of 19 right. compared to November of 20.
Here's the month of November right here, the 7,525.
Correct.
Right.
And here's the month, the standalone month, of
right.
2019.
Right. So we were up 17% over last November.
Difference.
Correct.
Okay. So year to date now,
We have a net of 3% decline year over year to date. Right?
I don't know. Like, right? There's supposed to be a number in here. So
it's in the line above.
Between. Yeah.
So the total year operations are 79,446, right? That's the summary of 19.
And that's
right.
That's year to date 19. Right?
That was for the year. 79,446 was for the total year of 2019.
Through November.
And we're at 70,753.
Right.
So we're down a net of 9,000.
Well, no. You got to look at it. See the 73,036 to the left?
Yeah.
That's year to date through November of last year.
Right.
Okay.
So we're down 3,000.
We're down to 3,000 something. Okay.
Right.
It's about 3%
something. Okay.
Yeah. Just thus the slight overall yearly decline from all things considered, given this has been a spectacular year, 3% net decrease is not really maybe within the margin.
Right.
Sure. This is for November, so yeah. Okay.
Okay. So.
I think as long as everyone on the board, including in Chris, goes out and does about 500 or 600 touch and goes between now and we'll get there.
Yeah, they don't even do that. They just have a pair of tires on a stick and they just keep rubbing them on the ground. They go, look, count them all.
Right?
Well, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I land, it counts as three.
So. Yeah, more PIOs, more PIOs.
That's what I said, just saying.
So on one landing, you regain your currency, David? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Unless it's professional gear, then he's got to do 3-4-1.
Somehow he gets both night and day currency done in one landing. We don't know how, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Long runway.
Okay, so that brings us to the manager's report.
Okay. No recent events, no upcoming events. Obviously, we all know we've had all these COVID issues. Other items of interest. I've discussed this now for quite a few months that the state of New Hampshire received the $6.2 million block grant from the FAA. The Bureau of Aeronautics is still working on this. As of today, I still have not received a grant offer. Nick may speak a little bit more about this later on. Merrill has initiated site survey. They've actually completed the site survey now on Taxiway Alpha for our anticipated parallel taxiway project. Again, Nick will touch upon this a little bit. We're going to do a rehabilitate, mark, light, and sign the taxiway. Like I said, Nick will chat about that. Merrill was the company out here doing all the site survey for the job, and they were fortunate enough to complete it before this snow. They came in on Monday and Tuesday of this week. We had our first plowable snow event this season. The NAA staff worked on Saturday, December 5th and Sunday, December 6th, except for a few hours when snow removal equipment was on the runway and associated movement areas. We managed to keep the airport open during the entire storm. So nice job to my staff. Another subject, Director Holland and I have started looking into the possibility of having a grass runway back at Nashua. Now, as many of you may know, right when I started here, we started discussing this. We kind of put the brakes on it because we had some other projects going on, and we wanted to complete those projects before we started getting into this again. So at this point, Director Holland and I, we've just been fact-finding. And we're trying to find out if this is actually a viable option, if the FAA will allow it, if Midwest ATC will agree to an LOA, et cetera. So right now we don't have a presentation. We're simply fact-finding. Excuse me. Last thing to watch out about is currently the NAA does not have any, and thank you whoever's highlighting this so I can read it right off the screen. This is dynamite. Currently,
you're welcome.
We don't have any potential tenants on our waiting list. I know we had talked about this last month. I actually do keep a list when we have tenants waiting, but we don't have any. We do have a tea hanger for sale located at 13 Perimeter Road, and we also have community hangar rental and plenty of it with Nashwood Jet, Infinity Aviation, as well as I have plenty of tie-down spaces available, both electric and non-electric. A couple other things that I'd like to mention is today we were getting ready. Obviously, we have a storm coming overnight, so people be aware that there'll be snowplow operations starting at about 5 a.m. tomorrow. We'll hope to have the airport open sometime around noontime. We think that the brunt of the snow is going to come after sunrise until about noontime. One other thing I want to talk about was last month we discussed an uptick in movements at the airport, and I want to give credit to a couple other operations on the airport here that, you know, contributed to this that I didn't give credit to last month. New England Aeronautics, who's John Nutt, he's flying on a daily basis almost all day long. Brulette Aviation Training, he has two aircraft that are in the air almost constantly. And New England Flight Training, Bob DeNaro. So in addition to the East Coast, CR Helicopter, Air Direct Operations, everybody contributes quite a bit to the operations here. And thank you. You're all doing a great job. One other thing I want to talk about is it's been brought to my attention that some people have been doing run-ups in the India Ramp area. And that is, we don't allow that. We try to be good neighbors and try to keep the noise down as best as we can. So, again, a reminder to everybody that run-ups, service maintenance run-ups in particular, they're supposed to be done on the 1-4 Compass Rose area. Standard run-ups depends on which runway you're using, whether it's the 3-2 run-up or the 1-4 run-up. But this is directed at service run-ups where they're doing high-power engine run-ups. So we just ask that everybody use the 1-4 Compass area and not the India Ramp. That's about all I have. Anybody have any questions? Crickets, I love it.
Okay, yeah, I'm good. Okay, thank you, Chris. So that brings us to the engineer's report. And I think, Nick, you're online, right?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
Okay, so Gail is administering two projects on behalf of the authority. The first being the construct-only phase of the pavement maintenance phase 2 project. Unfortunately, there is no update this month. Everything has remained exactly the same. We're still waiting on funding in the issuance of a grant from NHDOT. So no update on this project, unfortunately. But recommended actions are please sign and return the grant offer upon receipt. Any questions on project number one?
Hey, Nick, this is Joe.
Yeah.
Obviously probably don't know the answer, but just how is it that we can go months and I get it. I'm not up there doing the work, but this is a pretty straightforward transaction, right? I mean, this is nothing complicated, is it? Like what could possibly be stymieing this for months?
I can't even venture a guess. I'm not privy to the internal, you know, sign-offs that need to happen at NHDOT, whether it has been prepared and is sitting on someone's desk for review or it hasn't been prepared. I am uncertain. So,
does this turn into some sort of odd 2021 thing, or just because it's still 20? You know, it's not normal for these things to go year over year, right? I mean.
Correct, but it's still going to be 2020 fiscal year money because the FAA issued the grant before the end of their fiscal year.
Okay.
So that money is accounted for. It just needs to be processed through New Hampshire DOT, and they need to issue the block or the portion of the block grant for this project.
Let me interrupt for a second. Nick, on our behalf, has been calling New Hampshire DOT almost on a weekly basis. Nick and I chat just about every week, if not, you know, more than once, many times a week. And we've been pushing and pushing, asking where it is, and the response is we're working on it.
But Nick, just so I understand too, is that earlier the comment was that there's $6.7 million of a block grant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're 3.6 of that.
That is correct.
Okay. So there's somewhere around $3 million bucks going to other airports.
It's Keene, Dave. Yes. Keene has another project on tap, and it's basically...
Have they gotten sign-off?
They have not, according to New Hampshire DOT. I spoke with Will Stanfield the other day, and he said that they have not received the grant yet either.
Okay. Can we get... I mean, I know we can't really have any control over this, but it just... To have the same discussion month after month, I think we need to get a better answer rather than working on it between now and the next meeting.
So Nick, I guess the obvious question then, I mean, I guess where it's winter now, so it's sort of it's a self-answering question on the work, but as this thing continues to drag on, when do we start bumping up against the next set of deadlines, if you will, for the work that was not able to happen this fall? Mm-hmm. When do we start? I mean, it may be a little absurd right now. It's only December, but look how long it's been. So when do we...
Well, I think the next big, potential problem would be the contractor's schedules have filled up for next year and there's still no grant issue.
Nick, I can interrupt again for a second. I probably should have discussed this earlier. I met with Bruce Power this morning from Continental Paving, and we discussed the status of the grant offer. And we discussed the availability for Continental. And what they told me is they are anticipating this job. They're preparing for it. We're all pretty hopeful and confident that we will receive the funding in time for a spring start for this job. They also indicated that they will hold their bid price as quoted.
So, I mean, at this point, we are probably 90 days to 120 days beyond the period where the contractor was required to honor their bid price. So I think that's a pretty stand-up gesture on the part of Continental.
It is.
Okay, thanks.
So moving on to the second project, that is the Rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha and Associated Taxiways. This project is anticipated to come in at approximately $4 million. The scoping meeting has occurred. That was October 30th. Gail has received comments from the New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics on the scope of work for the project, and we have prepared a fee proposal and IFE documents for the airport. This, actually, I have not, Chris, transmitted those to you. That is under review by Matt right now. He's the last set of eyes that need to get on it. But we should have that to you tomorrow at the very latest Friday.
Nick, what's an IFE document?
That is an independent fee estimate.
Okay.
So if our contract exceeds $100,000, we are required by the FAA to send it out for an independent fee estimate.
Well, that's fine. I just didn't know what the acronym was. I probably could have figured it out later on. But
okay. No worries. So we'll have the pro forma for the IFE as well as Gail's draft scope and fee to the authority for review pending any comments. Or actually, I believe the authority has already seen that draft scope of work, correct?
Okay, there's two more things I need to know. A registered DBE.
Disadvantaged Business Enterprise.
Okay. And a PCI data.
Pavement Condition Index.
Okay.
So early on in the programming of this project, it was brought up that this taxiway was overlaid back in 2013, right after the runway.
Yep.
And FAA indicated that if the pavement condition index is above a certain level, that they don't see the need to participate in funding any type of rehabilitation work. So Gail added a brief PCI study to the scope of work. We have gone out and done that. We have determined that the PCI on Taxiway Alpha ranges from anywhere in the 60s on the part that was overlaid to the 30s on, say, the run-up apron where the compass roses. So the threshold for rehabilitation is a PCI of 75. So FAA, I believe, has issued concurrence that the project can move forward. Although I did see an email from Carol yesterday just asking FAA to confirm that. Perhaps they need to confirm it in writing somehow.
Okay, so you're saying the condition that is below the threshold that will then facilitate the repaving,
correct?
Yes. Reconstruction. Okay.
So that has been completed. Again, the IFE is likely going to go to Montgomery, who is a DBE, so that helps your DBE participation. The survey and geotechnical work has all been completed, as Chris alluded to, and we are currently waiting for the CAD files from the surveyor to begin design. That being said, we're still working towards that overall plan set and preparing the CSPP, or the Construction Safety and Phasing Plan, because that can use the overall aerial survey that we have. There's nothing laid out based upon those plans, so it's sort of diagrammatic in nature. So we are moving forward with the Construction Safety and Phasing Plan. We'll have that submitted to FAA early in January, and then it's a matter of just finalizing the 95% plans in January, sending them out for review, and once we receive those comments, we'll be ready to make those final changes and go out to bid.
Okay.
So recommended actions at this time, there are none. When you guys do receive the scope of work and fee proposal, as well as the IFE documents, obviously there'll be some legwork there to get the IFE started, and then at, I would assume, next month's meeting, we'll be making a motion on whether or not to approve the contract for signatures.
Hey, Nick, just a real quick question here on this table up here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing state share zero, local share zero, but I'm seeing 200,000 each of them.
Yeah, the percentages I did not update, but I did go back to a 95-5 funding split. That's not to say that FAA won't come out with a second round of CARES Act funding.
Okay.
I apologize for the oversight. That should be
so this should be 95-5, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the 5%. Okay, I hate to be a math guy here, but it'd be 180,000 each, wouldn't it?
If you're going based on the 3.6.
Oh, the 4 million. Sorry. Okay, not this. Okay, gotcha. Yep.
So that's it for my update, unless anyone has any questions.
I have a question, Nick. Thanks for the update. I'm just curious, thanks for contacting the DOT and keeping on them about what their status is for the funding.
Mm-hmm.
When you contact them, are you calling them or do you email them? I'm just curious if there's a sort of a paper trail of your communication.
We certainly do have a paper trail. I usually call and then follow up with an email if I say get a voicemail. And it's Chris is correct. It's been weekly. It's either myself or Danny from our office calls quite a bit. We call quite a bit for Mount Washington, who we also consult for. They're still waiting on their grants. So I think between me, Danny, and Matt, we have twice a week we're on the phone with them trying to get a handle on that. And, like I said, I can't even venture a guess at this point why that grant still hasn't been issued.
What do you, just for last year, or maybe I should say the last big funding that we got, I wasn't on the board at the time, what was the typical timeline?
I have never seen a grant issued beyond September. In the case of a block grant state, it's typically, I guess technically it could go beyond that, but the end of the federal fiscal year is September 30th, so that's usually the deadline to get grants out the door. In the case of New Hampshire, where they received the grant in September, I don't know if there's any regulation that polices their issuance of the internal grants in the state, but I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I think that there is a concern. I mean, the fact that we're potentially going to pay more for projects that we had anticipated a certain funding for is definitely a concern. So I don't know. I think maybe we should talk about this in more detail at next meeting if we still haven't received it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Nick? Okay, if not, we'll move on to committees. We have no committees out there right now. We have no old business. We have no items for new business. As Chris mentioned earlier, we have no upcoming events. So that brings us to the second public input. Do we have anybody who would like to speak up in public input as we are drawing the meeting to a close? Hey, going once, going twice. Okay, so no public input. That brings us to trying to get my windows here. That brings us to director's comments. Dave, I'll start with you.
Not much going on. Hopefully everybody enjoys their Christmas and their holiday season. And try not to hit any buildings with the snow plows coming up. I hear you can leave. The snow's going to be so light we can use leaf blowers. I just think we all get out there with our leaf blowers and just get the runway cleared. I think it's a good idea. But anyway,
have you ever taken a leaf blower and directed it at the pitot tube on your airplane?
No. Why should I try that?
Well, it's a in some work I've done, it's a cheap way to create a wind tunnel, and right. And my cheap leaf blower does 50 miles an hour. So, you know, maybe 100 people with leaf blowers might do it.
Yep, that'll work. So, but anyway, you know, thanks for all your time and your diligence. And Nick, just keep on swinging up there at the DOT, and hopefully we'll get some answers.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Brian.
I just want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays, and Chris, everyone, stay safe. Snow safe, COVID safe, and have a happy new year.
Okay, Jess?
Sure, I'll start off by just giving a big thanks to Susan and Chris and Joe and Matt for keeping the airport running so smoothly for the whole year. It's certainly been a challenging year, but I think even just being short just a small number of operations as well as having a budget in line, it's a good way to close out the year. So thanks. Kudos to Chris and your team. Really appreciate it. And to the rest of the board, hope to see you all flying soon. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. See you all next year.
Hey, thank you. Let's see. And I'll comment. Again, I also wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Hope everybody stays safe and healthy. And, you know, we'll look forward to seeing everybody, I guess at the January meeting.
Wow, who's the baby?
Looks like a future pilot.
Oh, yeah, it's my son.
Awesome.
This is Garrett.
Wow.
How you doing? future pit pilot.
Okay. Let's see. So this time I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A32A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee.
So, Chris, how are you going to do this? You're the host. How do you?
I think that for you to go into non-public, one of you folks are going to have to start up a Zoom meeting on your own, I guess.
Chris,
I'll do that.
Chris, you can turn the meeting over to David or myself.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You can assign the new.
Okay, let me finish this morning then, because you've adjourned.